Good morning, New Mexico. Welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company, streaming on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santaferadiocafe.org, thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services, and we're at facebook.com/radiocafe. Later on in the show, Rob DeWalt will be with us speaking of the arts, and Vince Kadlubeck is going to drop in for a little announcement. Right now, I'd like to welcome Linda Siegel, our legislative correspondent. Welcome.
Well, good morning, Mary Charlotte.
So I hear things are crazy quiet down at the legislature. What's going on?
Yes, it's quite surprising. They're in a slowdown mode. The committees haven't been meeting. Many of the committees haven't been meeting, or they only meet and do a few bills. And bill introductions, which are normally, 100, even sometimes 150 a day, have just slowed to a trickle. So it's a strategy to slow things down until the budget is done. That's what I'm hearing anyway.
Strategy on whose part?
On the House Democrats and House Senate.
And so the budget is the main issue. What's going on with that?
Well, every day the House Appropriations Committee and the Senate Finance Committee are holding hearings where they take the various departments. So last week or a few days ago, we had the Children, Youth, and Families Department and the Long-Term Care and Aging Department. And what they do is they talk about the budget recommendation from the Legislative Finance Committee, and then they talk about the administration's budget recommendations. Then they take testimony from people in public. That's both in the House and the Senate. And then in the House Appropriations Committee, they choose one of those budgets to go into our big budget bill, House Bill 2. And in the Senate, they're just going through the process because in a couple of weeks, House Bill 2 will get over to the Senate and they will have already heard all the testimony. And as is customary, the House Appropriations Committee always chooses the lowest budget. So if LSC's version is the lowest, they pick it, and if the administration's is the lowest, they pick it as their starting point in House Bill 2, and then all the machinations begin.
Do we have any sense of content yet, or how they are planning on dealing with some of the major budget problems?
Well, what they're doing are they're instituting mass reductions in departments. For instance, they haven't done public education yet. But every department is facing a budget cut. Human Services Department in Medicaid, they will either be even in Medicaid, but the department will take a cut, or there may be a little increase. But it's just bare-bones budgets because we're cutting that $200 to $400 million, depending on the assumptions you're making. And we'll be looking at public education next week, I believe, in House Appropriations.
Now, one of the things that we've been hearing on KSFR News is the issue of the many tax loopholes and tax giveaways. What kind of a conversation are you hearing about that?
Well, it's really on a one-on-one basis. I believe it was the Legislative Finance Committee, or maybe it was the Tax and Revenue Department, but one of them issued a list of all the different gross receipts tax loopholes, the tax credits, and those totaled over $1 billion. All the different advantages that certain businesses get by not having to pay taxes or getting a tax credit. And many of those are positive, but $1 billion in, quote, lost revenue if we didn't have all of those credits and deductions.
That would solve our problems this year and next year.
Yes, it would. So what individual legislators are doing, I think you just heard on the news broadcast that Brian Egoff's got a bill to take away some of those credits from the gas and oil industry, and their credits and deductions are huge. You also heard about the film credits. That one bill is dead for the moment, but believe me, there are other bills coming to reduce that tax credit. So yeah, it's going to be more on an individual basis. We're not going to have, like, what has been done in the past. When Richardson came in, he did this blue ribbon tax committee, and They looked at all the taxes in the state and made recommendations to adjust our different credits and deductions and look at things where the taxes were too low. But those recommendations were pretty much ignored, and that's what happens when politics gets involved.
There is a whole question of raiding, so-called raiding the Rainy Day Fund, the Land Grant Permanent Fund. Who is pushing that? What's that all about?
Well, we have these two huge, in fact, the second largest permanent funds in the country. We have the Land Grant Permanent Fund, which was created by the federal government, by Congress, when we became a state, which has about $8 billion in it. And then we have a severance tax permanent fund, which was created in the 70s by the legislators, and that places money from extractive industries and minerals into this permanent fund. And the Land Grant Permanent Fund, the $8 billion plus one, that one funds public education and funds some of our higher education institutions. And every year we spin off a certain amount of that money to go into the general fund to pay for education. So what the early childhood advocates are doing, because none of this money goes to early childhood, it only goes to public education and higher education, public education K through 12. So the early childhood advocates want to get a little percentage of that money, take a little percentage more out of that fund and dedicate it to early childhood education. So there was a huge rally at the Capitol, and the Catholic Church and St. Joe's Catholic programs are supporting this, and everybody had these yellow rain umbrellas, and it says, "It's raining now, let's take money out of that, quote, rainy day fund." And that's kind of a misnomer, but it's a big push, and we'll have to see how the legislators react to increasing that distribution.
Now, there are education bills being considered. What do they look like?
Well, as usual, there's a lot of education bills. And this year in particular, because we still don't know what the budget's going to be, but it is very likely education is going to be cut. The governor's proposal is 1.5%, and the legislature's is a little more. So out of a $2.4 billion budget, 1.5% is quite significant. So there are bills trying to address where that money will come from, like there's a bill to reduce the number of days that students go, because every day that a student, that schools are open and students go, costs $12 million. And then there's a bill to reduce the professional education days for teachers, and that's worth $11 million. So there are all kinds of different pieces of legislation. There's one that would require testing at the third grade to make sure that the kids can read. And if they can't read, they do not get promoted.
That was one of the pieces of Martinez's platform when she ran for governor.
Yes, yes, and also the new secretary.
Well, that sounds reasonable, being able to read by third grade.
You know, kids do progress, and they're simply, if you can't read, there's not too much hope for your success in other areas of education. So we're seeing all kinds of bills in education. The Education Committee, House Education, is the only committee meeting today, and they're actually taking testimony from some of the different advocacy groups about what is the solution to the education issue.
Is there a very partisan feeling right now in the legislature, around the roundhouse, so to speak?
Well, yeah, and the tone was kind of set by the governor's State of the State. You know, it was an opportunity perhaps for more conciliatory, let's work together, kind of like what Obama did. But Governor Martinez did pretty much a campaign speech, And even some of the Republicans that I've talked to were going, wow, that really wasn't a let's work together kind of speech. And this whole slowdown by the Democrats is, it's sort of, there's a tone of people not really happy with the situation. So I think it's pretty partisan. It's not, I mean, people aren't talking that way yet. It's just in their actions.
We're talking to legislative correspondent Linda Siegel. Now, there are some definition of marriage bills. What's up with that?
Well, every year, probably for the last 8 or 9 years, there have been bills to define marriage as that between one man and one woman. And we're actually one of the few states that doesn't have that kind of legislation on the books. But this year, there seem to be a proliferation of them because we've got four of them. And I believe two of them are constitutional amendments. And, of course, a constitutional amendment has to pass the House and the Senate, and then it goes on the ballot in the next general election. And then there are two statutory bills. And those bills are normally killed in a committee in the House. But because the numbers are so close now between House Republicans and House Democrats, there are only a difference of three more Democrats, the ability to kill these bills may not necessarily exist anymore.
To what do you attribute the sudden proliferation of these bills when New Mexico has never gone that direction?
Well, it's really about the fact that they might have a chance of passing because of the different constitution of the House and because of a Republican governor. So it gives people hope that these can pass. There are also a number of anti-choice bills that and normally there's two or three, and there are already four or five different types of bills attacking the woman's right to an abortion. So we'll see what's going to happen with those.
There was a big pro-choice rally a couple of days ago.
Mm-hmm. Right, the anniversary of Roe v. Wade. Every year they have a rally for that.
And so what else? Constitutional amendments? Did we cover that?
No. Well, Representative Cervantes, who people may remember or know, was the person who challenged the Speaker Lujan, to his seat, has introduced a bill that would call for a constitutional commission to study and make recommendations about tweaking or amending our Constitution, because remember, our Constitution was written in 2012, so a lot of things have changed, and we've made a number of amendments over the years, but they kind of go on haphazard. I'm sure the legislature wouldn't appreciate me saying that, but they some of them contradict, old language has not been removed, so this constitutional committee would study and try to update our Constitution. Now, that is worrisome to some people, because when you bring out the Constitution and you start to talk about not just cleaning up the language, because there's a lot of outdated language in it, but also seeing what we need, people are concerned there could be anti-immigrant amendments, there could be anti-gay amendments. All kinds of those issues can emerge when you have a constitutional study.
And once those things are in the Constitution, it's even if they might be a political whim of the moment, then they become pretty much inscribed for a really long time.
Yes, absolutely. Well, for instance, we have the language that idiots, morons, something like that, cannot vote, and that was the language used in the days to talk about people who couldn't speak or couldn't hear. But that's still the language we have in the Constitution, so something like that could be cleaned up, but there are other issues that might be more provocative.
I have to say, just for our listening audience, I got an email from a religious group called Family Life, which is doing a conference to quote-unquote strengthen marriage. So I wrote and said, are gay married couples welcome? And they said, yes, they are welcome, although there are biblical content, and we don't have any gay couples actually there. But it was interesting to see that I think because we now do in some states have gay marriage, that there is not a kind of immediate condemnation on the part of some of these groups, or at least a semi-openness.
Uh-huh, that's very interesting. And certainly there are plenty of very spiritual and religious gay people who might appreciate those
types of events. Linda Siegel, anything else happening at the legislature which we should know about?
Well, one of the important issues that will be ongoing throughout the whole 50 days left is the Rules Committee has to have every single secretary come before them, the new secretaries of HSD and public education come before them and have a background check and be asked questions, and then the Senate votes whether to confirm these people into their jobs. So that may or may not be controversial over the next 50 days.
So a lot of appointments that have been made, people think that they're just, that's what's going to happen, but in fact they have to go through a whole process, which may become a partisan process or may become a democratic process. We shall see.
That's right.
Linda Siegel is our legislative correspondent. She's with us every Friday here on the Santa Fe Radio Cafe during the first segment. And as things heat up, we might have you on other days as well to give us the breaking news.
Thank you very much, Mary Charlotte.
Thanks so much for being with us. I'd like now to welcome Vince Cadlebeck. He is with Meow Wolf. Welcome.
Hello. Thanks.
So you've got a big event coming up. Tomorrow?
Yeah, tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night. What's going on?
Tomorrow night at Little Wing Performance Space. Little Wing Performance Space is right next door to the Candyman on Calle Lorca.
And they are a very busy group of people these days.
Yeah. Little Wing?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Ross Hamlin, who basically runs Little Wing, is trying to just, you know, give us another venue for, for alternative music events and alternative theater and, you know, anything else that would like to get in there. So, he's doing real good stuff. And we came across a troupe a few years ago, a theater troupe called Missoula Oblongata. And we knew them through sort of the punk DIY circles.
DIY, do-it-yourself.
Just sort of, you know, through those avenues. And that's how Meow Wolf knew of them. And they're from Missoula, Montana. They're a tremendous theater troupe. They came through. They put on an amazing performance about 3 years ago at the complex, and they're coming through again. And so this time we're going to have them at Little Wing. And it's going to be tomorrow night, Saturday night. Doors open at 7:30, and the performance will start at 8.
And is there an age limit on that?
No, it's all ages. $5 for under 21, $10 for over 21. And it's going to be limited seating. Little Wing's not the biggest place. We could probably fit maybe 80 people in there, and the response so far has been, like, really tremendous. So I say if anybody would like to go to this performance, get there early, get there at 7:30, get your seats reserved. They're an amazing troupe. They do all of their tech, all their lighting, all their sound from on stage. They really like intimate moments with crowds. They're real romantic. They kind of have the romance of vaudeville meets sort of the passion and energy of like a punk rock DIY, and kind of converged into a really poetic and experimental, amazing little theater moment that they put together.
And of course, when people like this come to town, it's inspiring and perhaps influential to our local homegrown theater.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when they came through 3 years ago, it was like, it started just like sending off signals in Meow Wolf's brain for like theater, because it was just like the moments that could be created through theater, you know. And they did it in such a small sort of intimate setting that, is, you know, you don't need a venue, you don't need a large theater to do a good theater piece. You know, you could do it in someone's living room. You could do
right.
it yourself.
So this is all tomorrow night at Little Wing, and sponsored by Red Cell.
Yeah, Red Cell, The Process, and Meow Wolf are both kind of coming together for this, and then Ross over at Little Wing. So it's kind of this nice little convergence that sort of birthed out of a larger movement called the After Hours Alliance movement that we're working on.
Excellent. Vince Cadleback is with Meow Wolf, and we will see you tomorrow night at Little Wing, and we'll see you back on the radio.
Cool. Great. Thanks, Mishra.
We're going to take a break, and we'll be back in just a moment. Please stay tuned to KSFR. I'd like now to welcome Rob DeWalt. He is with the Pasa Tiempo, Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexico. He's with us every Friday. Speaking of the arts, welcome.
Morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I am fine. How are you?
I'm waking up.
Nice drive-in from Glorieta.
Yeah, blasted out of there with no coffee, so I'm feeling the effects.
Uh-huh.
You know.
We need IV caffeine right now.
Yes,
here
stat,
at the Santa Fe Baking Company.
As they say on television, stat, whatever that means. I don't
you
know
tell
what
that
me. Means. I don't know.
Oh, are we
up.
Both unhip enough to know anything?
Yeah, I think it's a made-up word.
Ah.
Yeah.
So what's going on this weekend? We just heard from Vince Cadleback about what's happening at Little Wing tomorrow night. That's
yes.
A big event.
What is it? The clam lump?
The Missoula Oblongata?
Yes, clam lump.
Yeah.
Yes, that is going to be awesome. Also, Meow Wolf is presenting a concert over at the VFW tonight.
Ah.
That I think everybody should go to. But
everybody.
But you know, tickets are going fast. Well, it's an LA group called No Age. More of a duo, but I think they have a hangers on for touring purposes. I can't really explain the music. It's sort of one of those indefinable things, but it's sort of postmodern, post-punk. It's going to be an awesome show. The VFW is one of my favorite venues. So I have a friend in town from L.A., and he'd never heard of the band, surprisingly, but we're going to go tonight. That's at 9 o'clock at the VFW over there on Montezuma Avenue. And I don't think you can get advance tickets anymore. You're welcome to try, but you can also get tickets at the door. Remember, the VFW only takes cash.
The VFW only takes cash.
Yeah, no checks, no credit cards, no
okay.
library cards either, apparently. So that, and also on tonight, Tristan, I'm going to totally mangle her last name, but it's Tristan Gaspoderic is how I'm going to say it. If I said it wrong, Tristan, I am sorry. She's doing a 21 and over gig over at Corazon tonight at 8 p.m. She's a great singer-songwriter, really sort of like pop balladry that sort of harks back to a different time. Sort of folksy, but also a little dark. It's going to be great. And they, an Albuquerque band called Grave of Nobody's Darling is actually opening for them, and they're opening for her, and they're a hoot. And that's tonight at Corazon. You can get tickets at CorazonSantaFe.com or at the door.
Now, I got an email from David Geist of Geist Cabaret, and he is presenting a masterclass with the Tony Award-winning composer and lyricist Jason Robert Brown. And that is tomorrow at 2 o'clock at Santa Fe Prep. And you can go and check that out. And then that evening, Jason will be performing a solo performance at Geist Cabaret. You can call Pronzo for more information. That's where Geist Cabaret is, Pronzo Restaurant. Downtown Santa Fe in San Busco Center, 984-2645. See if there's any tickets left.
Cool beans. There's a really great thing happening tonight. Ladies of Frost and Flame. Have you heard about this?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, it's a family show, so I won't say what I was going to say. But it's a burlesque dance performance by Zirkus Erotique Burlesque Company, Satan's Angel, Fanny Spankings, and Vivian Moran. And that's at 7:30 tonight over at the Lodge at Santa Fe. Let's see. Tickets are available at Au Boudoir Fine Lingerie and Boutique on Penn Road or at zeburlesque.com. That's all one word. There's a story in today's Pasa Tiempo with some very interesting pictures.
And did you write it?
No, I did not. I did not write it. But I believe Michael Wade Simpson wrote it.
All right.
But that is going to be a fun show. This was a great Pasa Tiempo to put together. I think it's one of the most pretty ones we've ever done. Even though some of the subject matter might be construed as a little risque, it's a gorgeous looking magazine this week.
Nice Polaroids on the cover.
Yeah. What else is going on? Friends of Archaeology, Shelby Tisdale, director of the Museum of Indian Arts and Culture, tonight at 6, is discussing Marjorie Ferguson Lambert, the late archaeologist and curator of archaeology at the Museum of New Mexico. And it's part of the series Archaeology and Women in the Southwest. It's an ongoing series. That's tonight at 6 p.m. at the New Mexico History Museum Theater on Lincoln Avenue. You can get tickets through the Lensic, ticketsantafe.org. There's a nice story about it in today's Pasa Tiempo on page 16.
Excellent.
All kinds of stuff. Warehouse 21 is having a biannual student exhibit, and there is a reception tomorrow. I love the fact that the receptions start like an hour earlier on Saturdays than most other galleries, especially in that neighborhood that gets kind of clogged. Reception is 4 to 7 p.m., and that show is up through February 5th. It's worked by students aged 6 to 15, so you get this sort of broad range of, like, innocence and angst, you know.
Excellent.
So that's going to be a good show.
Now, tomorrow, the 29th of January at 4 o'clock at Collected Works Bookstore, Reed Lance Rosenthal will read from and sign copies of his new Western fiction, Threads West. And then on Sunday at 2 o'clock, C.S. Merrill presents Weekends with O'Keefe at Collected Works in conversation with Margaret Wood, who's author of the book A Painter's Kitchen. And then on Wednesday at 6 o'clock, Craig Barnes will continue in his series, Democracy at the Crossroads and the Evolution of Civilization. And all of these events are at Collected Works, and they're free, open to the public, 988-4226.
Cool. Hey, remember when I was asking you last week who did these paintings on the walls?
Yeah.
I was at a restaurant very near here having margaritas, if you can guess which restaurant that is. And
oh, there's only one restaurant that has margaritas in Santa Fe, New Mexico.
And this artist just happened to sit at my table with somebody.
David Sloan. Nice.
A quiet and very nice gentleman.
They're awesome cactuses.
No, I'm loving these over here. I mean, it's like SpongeBob on psilocybin. It's awesome. but he was a very nice gentleman, and he gave me this card, and I was like, well, I will just make sure that I mention that your work is up. And he also did those paintings over there. People at home probably can't see.
They can't
pointing.
See where Rob Duwalt is pointing right now, but there are some very big paintings
some large
all over the walls of the Santa Fe Baking Company, and they always give wall space to local artists.
Yes.
It's terrific.
It's great. If I ever decide that I'm going to become an artist, which will never happen, though, this is where I'm coming first.
Now, did you mention the Dragonfly Art Studio?
I didn't.
Dragonfly Art Studio is having their biannual student art exhibition tomorrow, the 29th of January, from 4 to 7 at Warehouse 21. Students aged 6 to 10 studied Henri Matisse and his style of cut paper and Alexander Calder and traditional Aboriginal painting and Van Gogh and all sorts of things. And so that's at Warehouse 21 tomorrow from 4 to 7 in the afternoon. And there will be appetizers and beverages and music by DJ Pepe Stilo.
Cool.
And it'll be on until February 5th.
It's the Year of the Rabbit, or it's going to be. I forget when exactly is...
Didn't they mess the astrology all around? Oh, that's a different thing.
Yeah. Yeah, no, this is different.
I'm a new sign now.
You are?
But I wasn't even my old sign.
Oh.
So.
Anyway, Chinese New Year is coming up, Year of the Rabbit. Desert Academy is hosting a fundraiser to mark the Year of the Rabbit. There's going to be a Tai Chi performance, traditional tea ceremony, and a dragon dance. That's on Saturday from 5 to 8:30 over there at the school, which is on Camino Elire. Donations are appreciated, and you can call 992-8284 for more info on that event. What else? Oh, Core Zone. Here's another sort of fundraising thing. The Cheeky Scones and Kamikaze Trio are performing for a silent auction and raffle from 5 to 9 p.m. at Core Zone on Guadalupe Street. The proceeds are benefiting New Mexico Society for Acupuncture and Asian Medicine.
Nice.
And later that evening at 9 o'clock, starting at 9 o'clock, around 9 o'clock, sometimes things don't go as planned, but power pop rock bands Dressy Bessie, I believe they've been around for a while. They're from the Colorado area. And Lousy Robot, which is a great Albuquerque band. And Panic, which is also an Albuquerque band. They're out performing on later that night on Saturday. And you can go to CoreZoneSantaFe.com for more info and for tickets and stuff like that. What else? Margaret Wood is discussing her cookbook, A Painter's Kitchen, Recipes from the Kitchen of Georgia O'Keeffe, with C.C. Merrill at Collected Works on Sunday.
I just read that.
You did?
Yes.
Did you say what time it is? Because I'm looking at this listing, and there's no time in our listing.
I probably did.
Okay, good.
I've already closed that window.
Oh, okay.
But I opened this window.
When you close a window, you open a door. Or something like that.
You open another window. Oh. I have about 4,000 windows open on my laptop screen right now. And we're looking at them all. So, let's see. Santa Fe Art Institute. What is going on over there? There is a panel discussion, censorship. Wait a minute. When is this happening? Yeah, tonight. They're doing their lecture series on Friday nights. They used to do them on other nights of the week, on Mondays and so on. But tonight, in session, Jolene Ricard and Lucy Lepard in conversation at Tipton Hall, the Museum of Contemporary Native Art and the Santa Fe Art Institute, are presenting this, and it's a conversation with Native artists and scholars, cross-cultural dialogue. So that's at 6 o'clock tonight. Check it out.
Cool.
They always do great things over there.
Yeah, they do.
And Jolene Ricard is a very distinguished historian and curator and is interested in the ideas of what does the word indigenous mean, things like that.
I dig it. That's cool. Wednesday. This is good. I just love the title of this lecture to begin with. Comic Books for Big Girls. Uchida Shungiku and the Realm of the Dollhouse. And Eve Zimmerman is going to discuss the comic artist. She wrote this comic book, or sort of anime comic book, back in the 80s. And it was sort of controversial at the time, you know, because of its subject matter. This little girl shrinks. Not a little girl, but this girl shrinks. And her own, look who's here. This girl shrinks. And she moves into her boyfriend's house and lives in his dollhouse. And they start trying to negotiate their sexual relationship based on this unfortunate turn of shrinking events.
So, oh, dear.
Yeah. It's and you can just interpret that any way you want. But it's for the time, it was pretty risque.
This is Eve Zimmerman.
Yes.
She used to live here in
Santa
Fe.
She didn't draw the comic book.
Ah.
She's going to be discussing Uchida Shungiku, who did draw this comic book. And went on to, it was turned into a series and sort of cutesied up a little bit. But that's going to be an interesting lecture.
She's a professor of Asian languages.
Asian studies and languages.
And she used to live here in Santa Fe, and I grew up with her.
Yeah.
And in Poughkeepsie.
I don't remember where she is now.
Is it still NYU? Let's see.
I can't remember.
Can find out.
But anyway, from noon, that's it, noon to 1 p.m. on
Wednesday.
Wellesley, that's right. At the School of Advanced Research Boardroom over there on Garcia Street. And I suggest that. There's a little something about it in the mixed media portion of Pasa Tiempo today. So check that out. Here we go. We were just talking about this last week. Monday the 31st, 7 to 8 p.m. lessons, dancing from 8 to 10 p.m., all ages informal swing dance at Oddfellows Hall in Surreals Road. A fairly inexpensive dance and fairly inexpensive lessons. You can call 473-0955. I need to get back into some dancing.
I haven't been dancing for so long, except on New Year's Eve. I went dancing salsa, and somebody with a stiletto stepped on the top of my foot, and I decided I need to wear now steel shoes.
Steel-toed boots?
No, steel on the top of your foot, because that's where they step on you.
What kind of dancing was this?
Salsa. And the gals tend to wear, a lot of them, not all of them, those shoes with super pointy heels.
Mm-hmm.
And I got stepped on by somebody who was just dancing the night away. I don't even remember who it was. But anyway, it was annoying because I couldn't dance the rest of the night. But anyway, we are fully healed. The Brothers Karamazov, Carrie Ames, tutor at St. John's College, is giving a lecture today at 8 o'clock at the Great Hall at Peterson's Student Center at St. John's. It's free and open to the public and followed by a question and answer period.
There's some ballet going on this week, Monday. Russian National Ballet, the Lenzik.
Yay.
Performing. They're doing Swan Lake on Monday at 7:30 at the Lenzik. And they're also, on Tuesday, they're doing Romeo and Juliet. And that's at 7:30 p.m. both nights. And tickets, of course, are available at 988-1234, ticketsantafe.org. And there's a range of prices for tickets for that.
Excellent.
What else is going on? There's a few openings today. Box Gallery over there on Paseo de Peralta is opening Afterglow, Mixed Media Paintings by Ted Laredo. There's a reception from 5 to 8 p.m., and that's up through March 5th. There's a story in today's Pasa Tiempo. Chalk Gallery over on Canyon Road is opening Equanimity, paintings and glazed by Thomas Allen Coppera. And that's a reception tonight from 5 to 8 p.m., and that's up through February 15th. Counterculture is having a show, Numinous Elephant, work by Bettina Lancaster. That's up through February. Don't see a reception for that tonight. Zane Bennett Contemporary Art over on Guadalupe Street, New Prints by Tony Cragg. There's a reception from 5 to 7 p.m. tonight, and that's up through February 18th.
And at the Lenzig, there's a lot of stuff going on. On Tuesday of next week, the Russian Ballet Theater is doing Romeo and Juliet. Wednesday, Lannan Reading and Conversations' Tom Engelhart is speaking in conversation with Jeremy Scahill, who's been on this show quite a number of times. On Thursday, the 3rd of February, the National Theatre of London in high definition is doing King Lear.
Ew.
Yeah.
Wow.
Just saying.
John O'Manson is back from Italy. Singer-songwriter's back, and he's ready to rock and roll. And he's going to be performing at 7:30 p.m. on Saturday at Gig Performance Space over there on 2nd Street. And there's a suggested donation for that. You can go to gigsantafe.com to find out more info. Here's a follow-up to the whole burlesque thing. Have Tassels, Will Travel. This is on Saturday at 6:30. Burlesque performer Satan's Angel presents an autobiographical storytelling performance. And that opens, I don't know if there's going to be tassels involved, but the doors open at 6:30 p.m. The show starts at 7, and that is also at the Lodge. Tickets are available at Au Boudoir Fine Lingerie and Boutique on Penn Road. And you can call 983-7700 to find out more information about those tickets and that.
Now, what's happening at the CCA?
Ooh.
What's happening at the Cinematheque? Well, this week, meet the redhead who's the most popular attraction at the oldest zoo in the world, Nenette.
Oui.
Is the compelling story of an orangutan who has lived extraordinary life. I believe it, isn't it in France?
Yes.
France, yes, France's most famous primate. And then The Legend of Pale Male continues, and that was one of my favorite movies. That was a great documentary about this red-tailed hawk who moves into the most expensive apartment building in New York City. And then William S. Burroughs, A Man Within. Did you see that?
I didn't see that.
Interesting movie made by a 25-year-old documentarist. It's his first film. He's from Chicago, and he did a really good job. If you like Burroughs, and even if you're just curious about Burroughs and don't know too much about him, it does offer some insight and a lot of archival footage. What I've heard and read is that
there's a lot of insight into his character and his celebrity, not much insight into his writing. So if you're going there to learn about his literature, you're better off going to a bookstore.
Yeah, well,
a local independent bookstore.
Local independent bookstore where you can buy the books. But that, you know, that's reasonable.
Yeah, no.
You can, books are for reading. Movies are for watching and getting insight about the guy.
Yeah, I know. But you know, there are Burroughs fanatics of various stripes.
Right.
So there's a movie out there about Burroughs for everybody, I'm sure.
Did you see Tiny Furniture?
I didn't. I did see Nanette, though.
Is it good?
I did. I reviewed it in today's Positive.
The Redhead.
And it was good.
I love animal movies.
It's sad.
Oh.
It's very quiet. It's a very static film in the way it's shot. The music is a little strange considering the subject matter, but it's a good film. It is a good film. I recommend it to animal lovers. I recommend it to anyone who has ever been to the zoo and wondered, why do we do this?
Why do we do this indeed?
Yeah. And for those reasons, it's a good film. You won't really learn anything about the endangered status of the orangutan, which I think is kind of a shame because it would have given it a little more background.
Yeah.
But you know, it wasn't a political doc. It was an emotional doc. So.
We've had Bill Dubois on the show talking about orangutans in Borneo,
yes.
Where he has...
This one is from Borneo. She was picked up in 67.
Is that right?
Yeah, she's my age. I think she's 41 now. Most orangutans live in captivity 30 to 35 years. So she's had a long life. Unfortunately, it's all been spent behind glass.
It's the orangutans, if I remember our conversation correctly, when Bill Dubois came back from Borneo, they are taken as pets. And once they become pets, they have a hard time living in the wild because they become so used to being fed and all those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
But then sometimes a female will mate with some guy from the wild, and they will go off
You mean orangutan?
Yeah.
Okay.
Some orangutan guy, some male orangutan from the wild, and they'll go off. But the males who have been overly domesticated have a hard time going and blending in with the tribe, so to speak.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. She's a cutie. She lives in this cage with her son. It's a great film. Go check it out.
Tiny Furniture, which is at the CCA, 23-year-old Lena Durham, the child of artists Laurie Simmons and Carol Durham, has created her own path with this wry, occasionally painful, and very funny tale of a young aspiring filmmaker returned from college and searching for herself. What have you heard about this?
Nothing.
Oh, okay. Well, now you have. Its final shows are this weekend.
Craig Barnes on Wednesday is giving a talk, Democracy at the Crossroads and the Evolution of Civilization.
We've already talked about that, too.
No, we did today?
Yes.
No, are you sure?
Yes. I read all the stuff that's happening at Collected Works.
Did this happen, like, was I here?
You were here. You were just not paying attention.
I was here, but I wasn't present.
Yeah, you weren't present. You weren't present with our relationship.
I was hearing, but I wasn't listening.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, what's happening? Santa Fe Community College. We definitely haven't read this. They're having a fashion show today. The Très Chic Creations at the Santa Fe Community College's Fashion Club are the centerpiece of a student show, which is today at 7 o'clock at the Lodge. The Lodge Hotel at North St. Francis Drive. And it's designed to showcase the sartorial talents of SFCC students. Runway event open to all ages. Donations welcome at the door. For more information, it's not a New Mexico number. Area code 541-621-4079.
Huh. I wanted to mention one more opening. At Saturday, reception from 5 to 8 p.m. at Changing Gallery on East Palace Avenue, 853 East Palace Avenue, to be exact. Fresh Goods and Staples. It's a group show. Shows up through February 12th. I've seen some of the work. Bless you. And it looks very good. What else? You already talked about Clam Lump. You spoke to Vince about that.
Indeed, we did. Now, White Material is happening at... it's a film at the screen. And what else is there? Oh, Vision from the Life of Hildegard von Bingen. Oh, no, this is the old one. No. I'm reading an old email. Where's the new one?
Everything you've heard in the last 60 seconds, just
is
put it
incorrect.
Out of your
mouth. Yeah, forget about it.
Jason Robert Brown on Saturday, the composer, is going to conduct a master class and lecture about how to become a Broadway performer.
You know, I read that one, too.
I'm just messing with you now.
You are not.
I am.
You're just not listening.
No, I am. Oh, A Passionate Light, The Polaroids of H. Joe Waldrum.
Yes, that's your cover story.
That's our cover story. That shows up through at the Mezzanine Gallery, New Mexico History Museum. Okay. The exhibit is held in collaboration with the Albuquerque Museum of Art and History. And that story is on page 32 in today's Pasa Tiempo. What else is going on?
Well, The Wildest Dream, The Conquest of Everest, is still at the screen. And a performance of The Flames of Paris. You know, they're doing that high-definition opera at the screen. So now we've got two different high-definition theaters here in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Performance of Cavalieri Rusticana and Pagliacci. That's on Sunday. I don't know if those sold out, and then Saturday, The Flames of Paris, and then something called Dogtooth. What do you know about Dogtooth?
Dogtooth is the you know, I've only seen snippets of it, and my editors watched it. Almost everyone at the Pasa Tiempo has watched it, and they all agree that it is one of the strangest films ever made. But it's very good for what it is. I'm really not explaining it except to say that there's these children that live in this home. It's a Greek film, I believe. And they're sort of sequestered in the home. So it's like a grand experiment where they don't have much contact with the outside world, and their lives are very strange. And that's all I'm going to say.
Did you see it?
No, I did not. I've seen a couple of scenes that made me go, "Really? Really?" But there's dancing, incest. It's very interesting. So.
Okay. Speaking of dancing, don't forget every Friday night at the Lodge, DJ Sofrito spins salsa tunes. And then same thing on Wednesdays, Cafe Mambo at El Farol, where salsa started in Santa Fe at 9 o'clock. Salsa, merengue, bachata, cha-cha-cha, even some reggaeton.
Let's see. Benchwarmers. Did you mention Benchwarmers?
No, I didn't mention Benchwarmers.
Thursday. Benchwarmers 10th edition preview is this Thursday. It's a Santa Fe Playhouse over there on East of Vargas Street. It's a fundraiser. 8 15-minute playlets, which I guess are mini plays.
Yes.
That's at 8 p.m.
And they all have to involve a bench.
That's going on for a while. You can figure out what day you want to go. And this is a fundraiser, and this is community theater, so we should all support it. SantaFePlayhouse.org, 988-4262.
Oh, and you get some interesting things. I mean, that's the what I love about Benchwarmers is that almost every time you go to Benchwarmers, which is what, a dozen or so, sort of 9 to 12 mm-hmm. or so plays, all of several minutes long, maybe what, 10 minutes long?
Mm-hmm.
Is there what's the outside length?
15 minutes.
15 minutes. Anyway, okay. There's always one that's just so bad you can't believe you're there. And there's always one that is so good that you can't believe you're there. And then the rest are somewhere in between, and some of them are pretty interesting.
Yeah. It's a hodgepodge.
It's a hodgepodge.
What's going on? Let's see. Outside our boundaries, we have Wicked. Broadway Touring Company presents the musical Wednesdays through Sundays through February 13th at Pope Joy Hall, Center for the Arts on the UNM campus. Have you ever seen Wicked?
No.
I haven't either. I really wanted to go. I had another engagement, but I was supposed to go up there with James Keller.
Like Sticky
and
Wicked?
And see it. Like Sticky Wicked, bro. What else is going on at the 11th Annual Revolutions International Theater Festival? This is the final weekend, folks.
Yes.
Let's see.
We talked about that last week.
Right.
Go down.
This is the last weekend. You can get ticket info at tricklock.com.
Tricklock Theater.
Tricklock Theater. Or you can call 505-254-8393 and get more digits.
Tin Star Saloon tomorrow night. Pete Springer, Don Curry, Andy Prim. And from 9:30 until closing, classic songs of Tom Petty, David Bowie, The Beatles, Journey, Randy Newman, Simon and Garfunkel, Steely Dan, The Moody Blues, Muddy Waters. That's so eclectic, I don't even know what to do. And the list goes on and on.
Where is this?
Tin Star.
Oh, Tin Star, cool.
411 West Water Street between the Hilton and Vanessi.
You know, I was thinking about going up to Taos this weekend, but I have other engagements. But if you are in Taos, you should go check out Guitar Shorty is playing at the KTAO Solar Center on Ski Valley Road. The veteran blues artist is performing at 7:30 p.m. Friday, January 28th. That would be today. You can visit KTAO.com for tickets. Also, this weekend in Taos is the 15th annual Taos Winter Wine Festival,
nice.
Which is always a good time. I'm not sure about how you get tickets for certain events because this thing started on Wednesday. So you'd have to go to skitaos.org or taoswinterwinefest.com
to
find out more info.
It sounds like it's time to go. Rob DeWalt is with us here every Friday speaking of the arts, and he is with the Pasatiempo, which is the wonderful Friday arts magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexican. Thank you. Wonderful weekend.
I promise I'll drink coffee and be more interesting next week.
You're always interesting.
You are too. That chai smells really good.
The chai is very good. Soy chai, ladies and gentlemen, here at the Santa Fe Baking Company. You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming live on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Dot Foil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe, and my email address is radiocafe@ksfr.org. Stay tuned for the BBC, then local news by KSFR's award-winning news team. And after that, jazz. We're broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company, and I just got an email the other day saying that one of the podcasts didn't work. If, ladies and gentlemen, you have any trouble with the podcast or with the site in any way, please send me an email, radiocafe@ksfr.org. Mary Lynn LeBlanc, once again, thanks again for doing a great job. Thanks to all KSFR staff and the great news team and everybody else. Jazz a la carta awaits. Hasta la vista.
Bye. Bye, Mom.
Ciao.